Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may not know it, but every one of us has been supported by March of Dimes, even if you're healthy today. Right now, we're facing a serious challenge. This nation is one of the most dangerous for childbirth. Why? Health inequity. March of Dimes is working to make a world where every mom and baby is healthy, where every family has equal access to care, where every baby born too soon has a chance to survive, and every mom, pregnant and postpartum, is heard. Since 1938, March of Dimes has never given up on improving the health of families. They're working to end preventable maternal and infant death and illness and close the health equity gap, no matter your background, your gender, your race, or where you live. With your help, time, and voice, March of Dimes can make that happen. It has been an honor to work with the organization, to share stories of families and lives they've touched, and ongoing research on That's Total Mom Sense, the podcast. We all are March of Dimes. Donate today at marchofdimes.org.
So we've, you know, earned this D plus grade, but when you look at the states, there is no state that's an A grade.
There's none. So this is an issue of access. That's one of the aspects. The other is the racial disparities that hit across the country. You can also visually see that in our Maturing Care Desert report. Black babies are 2 times more likely not to make their first birthday compared to their white counterparts. You start looking at Native Americans, who have chronic conditions that we're not addressing, whose preterm birth rate starts to be exponential. And then you start looking at access to care and you look at inadequate prenatal care. We know moms that don't receive prenatal care are 3 to 4 times more likely to have complications, if not death. And again, the infant mortality rate came out from the CDC looking at maternal complications. Bacterial sepsis, I think, was the other one that really skyrocketed, that we should be drawing our attention there. And you start thinking about maternal complications. We know hypertension, diabetes, obesity, these need to be addressed.
There is no hood like parenthood. Hi, I'm Kanika Chaddagupta. I'm a former CNN journalist, mom of 3, including twins, and host of That's Total Mom Sense, the podcast. Now, if I had a dollar every time I heard, gee, you have your hands full. On my show, I interview change makers on their life lessons, legacy, and superpower of intuition, which I call our mom sense and dad sense. I've had the privilege of working with Mom 2.0, March of Dimes, and the White House, and have had some pretty amazing parents on my show.
Hey, what's up? I'm Kelly Rowland.
Hi, this is Chelsea Clinton.
It's me, Bobby Brown. Can't wait to share my story.
That's Total Mom Sense is a production of the Evergreen Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube so you never miss an episode. To join my tribe, visit thatstotalmomsense.com and follow me on Instagram at Kanika Chadda Gupta. Now let's dive in to today's episode. A new report from March of Dimes paints a grim picture of maternal and infant care in the United States, highlighting the nation's continued struggle as one of the most dangerous developed nations for childbirth. Garnering a D-plus grade for its preterm birth rate for the second consecutive year, the U.S. faces a critical situation with a preterm birth rate of 10.4%. This report not only sheds light on the alarming state of maternal and infant care,
but also emphasizes the urgent need for comprehensive interventions to address the systemic issues contributing to these distressing statistics. As the U.S. grapples with the complexities of healthcare disparities, there is a pressing call for concerted efforts to bridge the gaps and ensure equitable access to quality maternal and infant care, safeguarding the well-being of both mothers and their newborns. March of Dimes leads the fight for the health of all moms and babies. The organization supports research, leads programs, and provides education and advocacy so that every family can have the best possible start. Building on a successful 85-year legacy, they support every pregnant person and every family. Today, I'm joined by March of Dimes President and CEO, Dr. Elizabeth Chereau. She's going to tell us more about our country's state of affairs when it comes to prenatal and postnatal care and what we can do to support. Dr. Chereau is a fellow of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. She recently served as the chief medical officer for Axia Women's Health. And as the first physician leader of the organization, Chereau also fosters an organizational culture of collaboration, innovation, and strategic growth, with a commitment to best practices in diversity, equity, and inclusion. In August, the March of Dimes released another report called Where You Live Matters, Maternity Care Deserts and the Crisis of Access and Equity, that illuminated those counties in the U.S. with little or no access to maternity care, which are called maternity care deserts. We're going to dive into all of this together today. Dr. Chereau, thank you so much for joining us on That's Total Nonsense.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here today.
I think it's always important to set the stage. We want to get to know you.
Oh, sure.
Tell us a little bit about how you got into medicine.
I grew up in a multiracial household. I was raised by my mom and my three brothers. We all kind of actually ended up in interesting intersections, but helping people in different ways. And let me just say that I personally just, you know, as I went through medical school and feel really lucky that I went and was up in Rochester, New York for that. And as I completed my residency in obstetrics and gynecology, loved the space of being able to help women and pregnant people in the office, but also at labor and delivery, and then really to continue with their life, be able to take care of them as, you know, menopause and into women's health. So it's a really neat specialty. Bottom line was I just wanted to help people. And I would say I'm doing it in a different way now, as my trajectory has been interesting as a career. But that's fundamentally how I started, you know, my interest in medicine.
Wow. And I understand you have your MBA as well. So what prompted you to, you know, earn that expertise?
Yeah. So, you know, I was running a large group here in New Jersey. And I, you know, we were really trying to help moms, everything from being like a one-centered home to be able to help moms with high-risk pregnancy, low-risk, be able to, you know, manage their ultrasounds, every aspect of it. And I started to negotiate with payers and really, you know, medical malpractice. And I realized I didn't always have the right vernacular. Felt like I understood the business really well as I was living it, but I felt like I needed to have a seat at the table. I needed more knowledge. So I went back to where I went to undergrad, which was at Johns Hopkins. And I was fantastic to go back in while delivering babies, while running my practice, so my kids could see how valuable education was. They were in elementary school. But, you know, I had a great support from my husband. But truthfully, as I went through every class, thought it was, you know, perfect timing to really apply to what I was doing. And it was a different way of going through graduate work, a little bit different to there's an end goal of trying to get to some of the most competitive residencies in the country. This was a true deep learning and understanding to be able to fundamentally drive my business. And I would say going from the bedside to really thinking about value-based care or, you know, how to help patients differently.
Wow. And tell us a little bit about your motherhood journey.
So I have two children. They are 20 and 19. I was preeclamptic with both of them. I'm very lucky that I just scooted preterm birth, barely, and had very good outcomes for myself. I don't know that I necessarily understood, you know, about a lot of things until I went through it myself. And I used to talk about, you know, to moms, oh, you're going to recover, you're going to be fine. You know, your bottom will hurt for a day or two. And then I was like, oh my gosh, It's like having a burn on your bottom. I mean, I can talk so much differently than I did, you know, having gone through it. But my children really are, you know, a fascinating kind of journey. I think I probably don't realize it until you're raising children or having those conversations with other moms about what it's like to have a child who is struggling in school or who is accelerating in school or trying to get them off the bus while you're working full time. And so all of those things, I love this space and having those really honest conversations. And we're going through the journey of, you know, of raising kids socially and in the middle of social media. So there's so many conversations that I love that I've had to been through, but both my children, you know, are now early adults, let's say very early adults at 19. So
that's so sweet. No, and it's great kind of glean your perspective. Because you're an OB and, you know, you're delivering babies or were. And then, you know, when you had kids of your own, it's a completely different ballgame.
Yes, absolutely. The last baby I delivered was in 2020, at the end of 2020, so November. I'll be honest, I never thought it was going to be my last. So I've never looked at my career as, ooh, I'm going to pivot to this, that, or the other thing. Like people ask, what are you going to do in 5 years? I think if you told me 5 years ago I was going to be the CEO and president of March of Dimes, I probably would have laughed at you.
Yeah.
Just thinking that I was not ever going to leave the bedside, and I continue to take care of women and pregnant people in a prison system. So, I really have changed into different places and learned to help people. They're the most marginalized. And at the time, they couldn't find a gynecologist to help. So I started doing that in 2020, right after George Floyd. You know, I continued to do that until actually I took this position. I am also not going to lie that it is kind of nice to sleep in your own bed for several nights in a row. But it's been, you know, my journey as a career isn't one that I looked at, you know, and said, I'm going to do this. I mean, I started as a math major in college, pivoted to history. Actually, I was a history major. I say this to my
children.
I think if you, what you enjoy doing and studying and learning, and then what you're good at is it kind of evolves. And I feel like that's what's evolved in my career over the last, several years.
Yes. Oh, that's so wonderful. And I think it's, you know, a testament to how when we raise our kids, we don't have to feel like, oh, we need to pigeonhole them into one interest or they shouldn't have to do that to themselves.
Yeah.
Because we're all so multifaceted and you never know where life's going to take you.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's where my kids are right now is I've been, you know, study what you really love and what you're good at will evolve. And then that kind of develops and could change over time. So, and I'm watching my son who is a history major too, which I find fascinating. And my daughter is sort of in that discovery. She asked me actually really late at night one night, if I wasn't going to do what I'm doing now, what would I have done? I just sort of looked at her like, I have no idea. So many things you can do. And so she's on her journey, right? And has picked linguistics, which I don't know where that's come from, but really like that she's exploring and figuring that out. And yeah, that's what you can only ask for is that perpetual learning and curiosity. So
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. 100%. Well, tell us about how you got involved with March of Dimes now, and you're helping patients at the macro level.
So I started at the end of, I guess it was 22, thinking about after being the chief medical officer for Axia Women's Health, one of the largest OBGYN groups in the country, and trying to manage about 500 providers, midwives and nurse practitioners and docs, had been doing a lot of negotiations with medical malpractice, with payers, and just thought, is there a bigger scale that I could have? This, honestly, March of Dimes, the job description came across my desk, and I remember having the conversation with my husband saying, this is kind of interesting. I got a lot of jobs come across my desk, like locum tenens to do work here or there. This was obviously unusual. And when I looked at it and knew about the March of Dimes and what it had done, I really dove into the history of the March of Dimes as I read the job description and had that, you know, that conversation with my husband. And my husband looked at me and said, and I'll never forget it, you know, what do you want on your tombstone? Which is a hard thing in your 50s, all of a sudden say to, you know, your spouse. But it was a, where do you want to be or what else do you want to do? And it was also, what is the legacy you want to leave? And that was sort of an eye-opening conversation. So, you know, after a long conversation and discussion of just sort of bouncing off ideas and realizing where the March of Dimes has been, right? It is one of the few non-for-profits that's actually pivoted from polio and research to advocating for moms. And, you know, I loved Vivian Apgar, who is one of the first medical affairs doctors at the March of Dimes. She actually was from Johns Hopkins. So I loved that connection. Good. And then the other aspect of that is that, you know, she tried to be a full-time faculty member at Columbia. And you start learning that history. And if you don't know, when babies are born, they get an Apgar. I mean, it's impressive what she has done for pediatrics and newborn infants. And I sat there thinking, like, could not that I have that big of an ego, but could I have a longer legacy than what I'm doing in the space I was in? And so the idea of having a bigger platform and continue to advocate and, you know, hone in our research and really the programs that we're doing for moms and babies, how could I not at least, you know, look into the job? So I became chief medical officer in January. Mm-hmm. And then about halfway through the year, the board asked me if I would step up and lean into the CEO role. I'll be honest, again, in January, that was not what I was planning to do. But I think as I looked under the hood and realized that this incredible legacy needed stewardship and that it also needed some financial acumen, but also that being the first doc in this space, I thought, why wouldn't I lean in? And so that was kind of, that was the journey. And so for the last 4 months, I've been the CEO and president of March of Dimes.
So I want to kind of switch gears and dive into this year's report card. Could you tell us some of the findings from it?
Yeah. So first of all, it's a report card just like you would get, your child would get in school, right? It gives you the benchmark for the country. And I think women's and infants' health, so the moms and babies' health, looking through that lens at the country gives you a good indicator of how we're doing and the health of our country. We're not doing well. Our preterm birth rate is flat. We have had very minimal improvement over the last year, and we have a D plus. So when you start to look at that, we actually do, our report comes out for every state and dives into the cities as well. And I think visually it's super neat to look at. I think from a data perspective, because you get real insight right at you know, sort of hits you in the face. But preterm birth, so delivering before 37 weeks, so 36 and 6, really, and that severe prematurity we know has a huge impact on infant death. But when you dive into start looking at the data and looking at the disparities, and you wrap this around with maternal health, we know that the country's going in the wrong direction. And more now than ever, we need to be amplifying that we need focus in this area. The research we need to continue, we do, but others need to do, like the NIH. We need to continue to elevate as the CDC comes out, preliminary data came out for infant death. And those causes are, you know, really staggering that has not improved. In fact, it's the worst it's been in 20 years. So we have a lot to do. But and then when you start to dive into disparities, which I'm assuming is going to be your next question. Right. It starts to look frightening. And if we can solve for Black and brown moms in this country, we can solve for everyone.
Right. Yeah, I do want to touch on that. So we've, you know, earned this D plus grade. But when you look at the states, there is no state that's an A grade.
There is none. No. And this is not scaled, right? So this is not like we elevate the bat. So you will see the green of California or New Hampshire, which, you know, a lot of people say, oh, California always does well. Yes, it does very well, but it didn't receive an A. And you do see the swath of red across the Southeast and West. So, yeah, we had, you know, several 14 states that have worsening preterm birth rates. There are some that are better, but these are, you know, in the Southeast is really places where we know there's a lot more to do. And our other report card really highlights where we've closed, you know, birthing centers and hospitals and don't have providers. So this is an issue of access. That's one of the aspects. The other is the racial disparities that hit across the country. You can also visually see that in our Maternity Care Desert report. Black babies are 2 times more likely not to make their first birthday compared to their white counterparts. You start looking at Native Americans who have chronic conditions that we're not addressing, whose preterm birth rate starts to be exponential. And then you start looking at access to care and you look at inadequate prenatal care. We know moms that don't receive prenatal care are 3 to 4 times more likely to have complications, if not death. So we have a lot to do. And I have a lot of people say, okay, what are all the solutions? This is just unwrapping this gets to the data that can help us get to some of these solutions. And again, the infant mortality rate came out from the CDC looking at maternal complications. Bacterial sepsis, I think, was the other one that really skyrocketed, that we should be drawing our attention there. And you start thinking about maternal complications. We know hypertension, diabetes, obesity, these need to be addressed in moms.
Yeah.
And we know that the disparity is so much higher in Black moms, in Native American, Alaskan Natives. We need to be addressing these and thinking about how do we address this before we go into pregnancy, but in between pregnancies as well. So there's a lot to do here.
Right. So you know, we acknowledge that these racial disparities exist and we have systemic problems in our healthcare system, especially against Black and brown moms. And the infant and mortality rate proves that. Now, what can we do to solve it?
March of Dimes, I would say one of the best things we do is some pilots that start to scale things like our mobile units. Mobile units are not the ultimate solution, but we absolutely, 2% of all mobile units are in maternity care, by the way. That's so small. So we actually bring providers to the patients. So I liken this to the old school, my doctor bag and going into the home of the patient. Is that a scalable possibility? Well, it isn't a mobile unit where it's almost like having a pop-up. So that increases our access, which is amazing. We also do a great programming where it's NICU family support. So we're in neonatal intensive care units where moms have delivered and families are. If we're not screening them for mental health, which we know is a huge issue, we're doing a ton of education when it comes to newborn care, as well as signs and symptoms of preeclampsia, which we know also happens to that postpartum period and are very preventable. We do the same thing in the antepartum space as well. So before pregnancy, that's when I start talking into doctor talk. But before you deliver, getting that education out is super important as well. And then we have a ton of things that we do just on, helping professionals, whether it's educational material for their patients or whether it's educational material for them. And we do some implicit bias training, which we know is really important. We do a lot of that across the country and have been partnering with payers and hospital systems to really try and make a difference, to have really culturally competent care for patients in general. We want every mom, no matter what their wealth, their race, or their geography, to have the best start. And without access, without getting prenatal care, you're not going to have that. So when you start looking at this, visually, I love what we've put together and our perinatal data center is incredible because you can see down to the county level where there are no providers. So maternity care desert, where there is no provider for obstetrical care, as well as a place to deliver. So that's really the definition of maternity care desert. Now you start thinking about driving distances. So if we don't have places and places are shutting down across the country, 4% are closing these units down. And it's complicated about the why, but we know that we need to keep elevating this to get to better solutions. And these are shutting down, by the way, because of staffing shortages, both nursing and provider. So our midwives and hospitalists, a solution. The financials behind medical malpractice, both for the hospital, imagine if they have such low volume. How do you staff that? How do you, pay for that medical liability? How do we come up with some of those solutions? I think midwives are huge, and nurse practitioners actually are huge solutions to this maternity access problem. I think they're not elevated enough. I worked with midwives my whole career, both trained by them as well as within my practice, and think that we need to continue to support this as a solution. And then there's doulas. We didn't even get into that. Yes. Doulas and community care, and again, then it's about reimbursement for these. So we advocate for that as well. So that if you are a doula, someone who supports moms, not only before pregnancy, but in the middle of pregnancy and then after, that we want that reimbursement to happen. Some states actually have passed this really and have done well, but we're doing a huge project at the March of Dimes about educating not only patients for that, understanding the supply and demand aspect of it, but how do we integrate within the system and how do we make sure we train them and we retain them? So there's lots of work being done on trying to figure this out as one of the solutions.
I love how comprehensive the report is and the fact that it's right on the website. I want my audience to know this. So it's marchingdimes.org/maternity-care.com. Deserts-report, or you can just type it into the search. But you can look at your home state and find out if you are in a region that has low access or is, you know, considered a maternity care desert. And then Marsh of Dimes will help you find that care. Statistics are staggering to think there are 6.9 million women who have lower or no access and 500,000 births across the U.S. That's really, really just gut-wrenching to think about. But on a high note, one of the findings was that Florida has had the most improvements since 2020.
Yes. Yeah. So it's interesting that state by state, when you dive in and look at the counties, I would also tell you on the website, you can compare to 22 to 23, because we leave the report card that's before that. This one really dives into a lot on the miles to travel. Also, for any kind of reproductive care, too. So when you contraception, you know, as well. And then it also gets into some of the, which I find fascinating, telemedicine. Where is telemedicine, right? This could be a solution. And there are some states that don't cover telemedicine. So it matters where you live. So can you imagine you've got to drive 100 and some odd miles in a state to get care when you know you could be doing this way? Which really is the one thing that came out of COVID that we should be celebrating, is that it really advanced. Yes. And thinking about that educational piece, that preventive care, and even that acute care, you can do this way.
High level, what are your main objectives for this year?
Oh, high level. So we're continuing our doula work. So we have programs that we're really elevating. We're really excited about our data and how we're really moving that forward. Just like all these reports, we have more to come for next year. Our research is fantastic. We have prematurity research centers across really the United States that continue to turn incredible stuff that's coming out. I would say to you, the things that I get excited about for next year, we're working on a low-dose aspirin campaign. If you don't know, low-dose aspirin in pregnancy, starting around 13 to 16 weeks, can actually reduce preeclampsia and could extend that gestational age so that you're not delivering premature or so severely premature. So I get excited about how we're going to drive that within communities and who we're working with our national service partners. So this is a little more in the weeds than I thought. But I also love thinking about how innovation will take us to the next level. So we have a venture capital innovation fund that I love talking about, because it takes real, you know, companies that have a technology that we're advancing to commercialization to get in the hands of moms. So I'm excited to see those happen. But when I step back, it's really about our education, our research, the data we're elevating, and then continue our advocacy work. So at a high level, that's what we're doing.
And oh my gosh, it's really groundbreaking work. So we're just so grateful to have an organization like March of Dimes spanning decades.
Yeah. It's incredible. 85 years. So you think about it started by FDR for polio.
Right.
Not many that have, right? We even asked for a dime, which is $1.85 today. So if we could have everyone donate, right, $1.85, where we could go. But really thinking about, as an organization, how we have pivoted and how we have then really wrapped around everything from birth defects, preterm birth, and then maternal health. I'm really proud to think about the people who work here, how we do a ton of fundraising, but how we get our programs out and really affect moms, babies, families right at the bedside. That to me is super important.
Yes, 100%. Do you feel that, you know, being a mother has made you a better leader in this space?
Well, I think moms can multitask like crazy, right? Like, so if I'm not balancing the finances, right? Like I'm going from this to a finance meeting, like, right? So I've had to prep for things today. And I sort of chuckle about kind of how your brain switches from one thing to another. But I think multitasking is probably the number one thing that moms do. And when they do it really well, can just about conquer anything. And, you know, having that discussion of how do I take care of my newborn? You know, I used to deliver them. I had no idea. I never took a class on taking a newborn. And I think I can really speak to what it's like, whether it's, you know, the umbilical cord, which was all new, to, you know, how do I bathe this, you know, all changing diapers. Okay, I got that. Like I could figure that, you know, I've had to do that. But even like just the words you choose, the vocabulary you have, and honestly cutting through some of the, you know, stuff that, you know, in programs and the things we do that aren't necessary or needed, I'm able to do because I've been at the bedside. I can also speak to moms who have had tragedy, and I've had to deliver those news. As a mom, as a physician, I think it's a really neat intersection where I sit.
Yes, yes, truly. Do you have a mom sense moment that you recall?
You know, I have the time that I've missed a diagnosis in my child, right? Like, so as a, and that is like the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't want to look in my kid's ears for an ear infection or strep throat or all those things. And then you realize I should have probably just done that in, as my kids were younger. It probably would have avoided a few things. But I would say to you that I would instill this as a physician to tell people all the time who are terrified taking their newborn home, just trust your gut. If you really think something's wrong, speak up. You know, I've had moms diagnose things before we, right? Because they have spoken up and have felt empowered to do so. So I think that's really valid. I mean, I can think about whether it was like in, you know, first grade when I knew my son needed more help academically, whether it was, you know, my daughter with, I was referring to her ear infection, which was pretty bad by the time we got in there. So I have like that moment of speak up and be empowered and, you know, don't feel fear to ask those questions, no matter how silly or how stupid or how you might feel like, oh, it probably is, but somewhere in your gut, you know, it's true. Those are sort of the things overall that I would just say to moms, like, just speak up, even if you think it's small or doesn't really matter. It probably does matter. So it probably really does matter. And so those are the sort of things I think about.
Yes, yes. Do you have a quote that kind of resonates with you right now in this chapter of your life?
I do. It's a quote from Einstein, and I should be able to say it. I think, and I'm gonna mess it up, but it's like what counts isn't counted, and some things that are counted doesn't count. And and I like that for so many things, whether I'm sitting in a meeting about our programming, whether I'm sitting in financials, right? And we're, you know, sometimes the numbers just, so, you know, I can think about it a lot. And I said it to my kids a little bit, you know, as they're navigating kind of academics and figuring that out. And then also socially, right? Like, so I think it applies to lots of things and it just sort of resonates.
I can see that, you know, and it's coming from like how you said you were a math major. And of course you've been trenched in all things science. Like, it's going to click.
Yeah. And sometimes, right, there are things that we count that just don't need to be counted. So I think about my kids and where they focus. And I'm like, okay, you have to take a step back and realize some of these things just don't count.
And now where can my listeners find you and, of course, support March of Dimes' many initiatives?
Yeah. So please go to marchofdimes.org. On our website, if you want to donate, I'd love that. If you want to dive into looking at our research, if you want to look at our data, all of our educational materials and our programming. So we'd love that. And yes, marchofdimes.org. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Shiro. It's been a pleasure having you on today. And thanks for enlightening us on all the work you're doing.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to my episode with Dr. Elizabeth Shiro of March of Dimes. Dr. Shiro, thank you for sharing your story and giving us more insights into how you got into medicine and started working with patients as a devoted OBGYN and are now embarking on this role at the March of Dimes. You're truly a pioneer in this field. Definitely check out the reports that we mentioned in the interview, the 2023 March of Dimes report card and the Maternity Care Deserts report, among others. You're going to find a wealth of information, and it's something that's so, so important as we all try to move the needle forward for our healthcare system. Be sure to subscribe to That's Total Mom Sense wherever you get your podcasts and leave a review and a rating. They always help with the algorithms. You can write to me at thatstotalmomsense@gmail.com and follow me on Instagram at Kanika Chadda Gupta. Remember, always trust your mom sense and dad sense. Stay strong, super parents. I'll see you soon.